first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. A little review of what we did last week. We said, what was God doing before creation? And we looked at the fact that he was planning redemption. We also said that he was eternal, that God has no needs, that he is sufficient within himself. We also noticed that the Trinity was in divine communion. The Trinity really is not clearly revealed in the Old Testament, but is very clearly revealed in the New Testament. Then we began to look at some of these let us statements. I guess I got to turn to Genesis. Let us statements in the book of Genesis. If you remember Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image. That would be a reference to the Trinity where he said, let us make man in our image. There was no one else around to talk to. Chapter 3 and verse 22. The Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So God mentioned there, one of us. And then in chapter 11 and verse 7, you have the same thought. We'll go to, let us go down and there confound their language. And that, of course, will be the story of the Tower of Babel when we get there. We glanced at the fact that all of the Trinity was involved in planning redemption. And so before Genesis, or before Genesis 1:1, where it says, in the beginning God created, before all of that, redemption is being planned. The Bible does tell us that Jesus was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So we note also that in Genesis, not only was redemption being planned before Genesis, actually, but in Genesis, I want to mention two things tonight. Redemption is promised. Now, Warren Wiersbe said, when God wrote the Bible, God did not give us a ponderous theology book divided into sections labeled God, creation, man, sin, and whatever else. So it's not like, okay, I'm going to read about God here. Now, then I'm going to read about a salvation there. And over here, I'm going to read about man. Over here, I'm going to read about sin. It's not laid out like that. In some ways, in a lot of ways, really, God gave us a story or a narrative that begins in eternity past and it ends in eternity future. It's a story about God and God's dealings with all different kinds of people and how they responded to his word. That's what we have here. And as we read the Bible, we learn all that we can, apart from creation, about God. Now I want to mention this. The Bible is really all the revelation you're going to get about knowledge about God. You don't get extra revelation. The extra books that say God gave people special revelation, like the Book of Mormons, or the Jehovah's Witnesses have certain books as well. Allah and those people, the Muslims, they have an additional books. And so they think that they add to the Bible. In fact, if you witness to a Mormon and you'll mention something in the Bible, they'll say something like, yeah, but now we have more revelation. Amen. That's right. That's exactly what they say. So you might want to be cautioned about that. So we learn about God from the Bible, other than creation, everything we need to know about God. If God wanted us to learn anything more, he would have put it in this book right here. By the way, that's also true of the Apocrypha. The Apocrypha was never considered to be canonized or never considered to be part of the Holy Scriptures. So, but we also learn about God. We learn about ourselves. We learn about the world. And if you read long enough, and if you read honestly enough, you're going to meet yourself in the Bible. Because James says the Bible is like a mirror. And you look into the perfect law of liberty. And you see your reflection in it one way or another. Now, I also said that we were going to look at the first 11 chapters of Genesis. The first 11 chapters of Genesis actually focuses on four main events that deals with humanity in general. And it focuses on, first of all, creation. That's the first thing that Genesis deals with is creation. After that, it deals with the fall of man and the consequences to that fall, Genesis chapter 3 through chapter 5. Then after that, Genesis 6, 7, 8, and 9, it deals with the flood and what happened right after Noah got off of the ark. And then in chapters 10 and 11, it deals with the Tower of Babel or the building of Babel. Or you might even say the rebellion at Babel. So those are the four main things that the Bible discusses in the first 11 chapters of Genesis. Now, after describing the creation in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, Moses then listed 11 generations that make up the Genesis narrative. He talked about Adam, his descendants, Noah, his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, with an emphasis on Shem and the faith of the Shemites in chapter 11. Then you had Terah. He was the father of Abraham, that whole line. You have Ishmael, Isaac, Esau, who was Edom, and Jacob, and his 12 sons, who make up the 12 tribes of Israel, which is why we read in Genesis chapter 12 earlier, and especially Joseph. Now, I mentioned all that to say this. Genesis is a great book to read for no other reason than this. It's written in a story form. You read all about the lives of these different people. Every time I start reading the book of Genesis, like if I start, I say today I decided my Bible reading brought me to the life of Joseph. And you start reading about the life of Joseph. You know how hard it is sometimes to put the Bible down once you start reading about that? Or Abraham and Sarah and all the events that went around that. So it really is enjoyable reading. But as you read Genesis, it really isn't a detailed history of each person or each event. He recorded the things that help us and that help God achieve his purpose and his goals under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. So every little detail in all those different people's lives that are mentioned isn't there. His purpose was to explain the origin of things. Genesis means beginnings or origins. And it really especially has to deal with the origin of the nation of Israel, where we read in Genesis chapter 12. In the first 11 chapters of Genesis, it is a record of failure. But when you get to the call of Abraham in Genesis 12, God made a new beginning. And so he called forth Abraham. Now look at chapter 3 in Genesis. Man's sin brought about God's curse. Chapter 3 and verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And then verse 17. Unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And then if you would please go down a few other verses to, chapter 4, maybe verse 11. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Man's sin brought about God's curse. People ask this question quite often. Well, why does God allow bad things to happen? The honest answer is sin. But when you say that, they're going to interpret it. Well, what sin did I do? Well, nobody said it was your sin. The world is cursed. You live in a cursed world. Romans talks about how all of creation groaneth and waiteth for the redemption. I mean, this is a cursed world. But this gracious covenant that God made with Abraham brought blessings to the entire world. You will also notice in Genesis what man does his worst, and when man reaches his very lowest, God gives him a new beginning. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan said the cycle in Genesis is generations, degeneration, and regeneration. I thought that was pretty good. Cain killed Abel, but God gave Seth to continue the godly line. Let me mention this tonight. Who taught Cain to kill? Nobody. He had a depraved heart. Who taught people to lie? Whoever was the first person to lie. We know Abraham lied. That's recorded in the Bible for us twice. But who was the first person to lie? Satan lied. He lied to Eve. But steal. Who was the first person to steal? Well, we don't really know. Who was the first person to rape somebody? We know that in David's family there was rape and those things. Who was the first person to cheat? Who was the first person to figure out how to hack into a computer? Yeah, there you go. Here's the thing, and this is kind of, it goes against Freudism a little bit. Our kids don't need to be taught to do wrong. It's born within them. Nobody had, Cain didn't have to watch somebody kill somebody to figure out, it just, he did it. They lie. We do those things. We are born with a depraved heart. You've probably heard of depravity. Then the world became more violent and more wicked. And so, in the days of Noah, God wiped out humanity. And he chose Noah and his family to carry on his work. Then after Noah and his kids and wife got off the ark, they replenished. And out of the Ur of the Chaldees, a pagan world, God called Abraham. And Sarah gave birth to a son, Isaac. And the future of God's plan of salvation rested with that one son, Isaac. Isaac and Rebekah had two sons, Esau and Jacob. God rejected Esau, and he chose Jacob to build the 12 tribes of Israel and inherit the covenant blessings. Have you ever wondered why God chose Jacob? I mean, have you read the story in the life of Jacob? He would not have been my top choice. I wouldn't have had him number one. He was a schemer and a conniver and a trickster and a liar and a deceiver. And for whatever reason, God chose to use him. Anyway, from the very beginning to end, Genesis is the story of God's sovereign will and his grace. These people made mistakes along the way. Some of them even tried to thwart God's plan. Remember Sarah? She couldn't have a baby, so she incorporated Hagar to have a son through Hagar. Finally, God says, you know what? That was a mistake. He's not the guy. We are still paying for the consequences of that particular thing, by the way. So they made mistakes. But it seems like whenever God screwed up, God overruled and accomplished his divine purpose anyway. You know, that is always true. God's divine plan will always happen. And you won't get in the way of it. And I won't get in the way of it. Look at Psalm 33 and verse 11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. What begins in Genesis is developed throughout the Bible and then finds its fulfillment in the book of Revelation. I have a summary of some things that I want you to think about. If you can put a word picture in your mind and put Genesis on this side and the book of Revelation over on that side, but you think about this. In Genesis, you have the first heaven and the first earth. In Revelation, you have the new heaven and the new earth. In Genesis, you have the first scandal. And then you have the tree of life being guarded because of the sin. And then in Revelation, you have the garden city where the tree of life is available. In Genesis, Satan tempted Eve to sin and Adam fell into sin. In Revelation, Satan is thrown into the lake of fire. In Genesis, death enters the scene. When you get to the end of the book of Revelation, you know what you find out? No more death. In Genesis, Babylon was built. In Revelation, Babylon will be destroyed. In Genesis, there we have a promised redeemer. And in Revelation, you have a redeemer who's come, and now he reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, there are more comparisons that could be made, but you get the idea of how important Genesis is to understanding God's program to the rest of the scriptures. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. The first announcement, or the first promise of redemption, and we'll get to this, but I want to just mention it tonight, is in Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That is the first promise of a redeemer in the Bible. Now, before Genesis, God's planning redemption. In Genesis, redemption is promise, and you're actually going to learn through whom. And then after Genesis, redemption is accomplished. God revealed his plan gradually. He gave a promise in Genesis chapter 3:15, but that promise wasn't fulfilled in the book of Genesis. The promise that a redeemer will be born of a woman, defeat Satan, and bring salvation to mankind is stated there, but it's not fulfilled there. The promised Savior will be a man. It won't be an angel. He'll save humans. He won't save fallen angels, Hebrews chapter 2. He'll be a Jew. He'll be from the tribe of Abraham. The son that Abraham had, Isaac, he'll have Jacob. He'll have 12 sons. Why Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel? And then you find out which one does the Redeemer come from. Genesis 49:10 tells us from the tribe of Judah. Then you move along to the book of Exodus. It tells how God built the Hebrew nation as they suffered in Egypt and how God delivered them from the land of Egypt. They could have denied their circumstances, but in unbelief they disobeyed and they wandered in the wilderness. They could have entered right into Canaan. They wandered in the wilderness. Joshua finally led them into the new land. After the tragic rule of the judges in the reign of Saul, recorded in Judges and all that, God raised up David and revealed the promised Redeemer will come from David's line. And he would also be born in Bethlehem. So God was outlining his program. But it all had its beginning back in Genesis. Through Isaiah, God said, he'll be born of a virgin. Well, you get down the road about 4,000 years from Genesis 1, and lo and behold, a virgin conceived and brought forth a son, and they called his name Jesus. So all the promises had their beginnings in Genesis, but they were not necessarily filled there. And all along the way, Satan is trying to stop all of this. Cain killed his brother Abel. So God gave Seth to continue the godly line in Genesis chapter 4. During the flood, God preserved Noah and his family, and from the family of Shem, Abraham was born, who became the father of the Hebrew nation. On at least four other occasions, the godly line was almost extinct. Abraham lied twice, had Sarah lie, actually, and she was taken to pagan rulers. His son Isaac did the same thing. Those pagan rulers could have taken Sarah and done whatever. Isaac did the same thing with his wife, Rebekah. In 2 Kings chapter 11, the wicked queen Athaliah had all the royal sons slain. One little prince, Joash, was rescued, and he continued the Davidic line. How did it all end? Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. I don't think that's the verse I want. It's chapter 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So how did it happen? God gave a promise way back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Throughout all the years and centuries that went by, Satan tried to thwart God's plan and to destroy the promised Redeemer's line from where he would come. But God continued to do miracle after miracle. And then finally, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. The angel said in Luke chapter 2, in verse 11, unto you, I'll just quote it. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so here was Jesus. The promise had been fulfilled, but it all starts in Genesis. So praise the Lord, he accomplished our redemption. Now don't raise your hand. It's a long book to read, the Bible is. Some of us try to read it through once a year. Sometimes we're successful and sometimes we're not. We try to read it through at least once a year. The quickest I've ever read through my Bible is in 3 months, but I would never do that again. I just read it just to read it, and it's like you don't really get a lot out of it. But It's that whole plan, God's whole plan is revealed. But it has its beginning in Genesis. So let's pray and give God thanks. Lord, you made a promise in Genesis chapter 3. It did not shock you that man was going to fall into sin. Before you created man, you were already planning what you would do when man did fall, for you knew we would. And then throughout the centuries, finally came along the time when you sent forth your Son. And the redemption that you planned and the redemption that you promised in Genesis was fulfilled in the birth of your Son, just like you said, born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin, of the seed of David, from the tribe of Judah, everything perfectly fulfilled just as you said it would. And so as we begin to look at these 11 chapters next week, I pray that we would learn what's going on there and we would develop deep convictions about what we do learn. And again, Father, we want to thank you for our redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to try to get caught.